Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. My name is Kendall Boyson, and I'm excited to be bringing a new topic tonight. We are going to be talking about developing deeper connections. So just to give you a little bit of background on me, I'm a life and drug addiction recovery coach, and I am doing Encouragementology because I'm so passionate about positivity and really passing that on, paying it forward, and spreading encouragement to other people. So Encouragementology is the practice of instilling hope. You have the power inside of you to impact someone else so greatly, not only the other person, but yourself. So we're going to be covering a lot of that through the Encouragementology series. Tonight, we are talking about deeper connections. We're also going to be featuring Heidi Burson. I want to feature an independent artist on each one of my shows, so we'll be playing a couple of songs from Heidi. She is a fabulous singer, so you'll definitely want to stay tuned for that. She's out of Nashville. She just got back from the UK, and she also plays with a local band, The Sole Proprietor. So I'm excited to play a little bit of Heidi's music for you tonight. But let's get back to the subject. We're talking about developing deeper connections. So what does your circle look like? Now, notice I didn't say how many Facebook friends you have or followers on Twitter or Instagram. I mean, aren't we using the term friends pretty liberal there? I mean, even Facebook's algorithm doesn't even buy it. I have 1,200 Facebook friends, but I only see a handful of updates. But think about this. Who are you close with? More than just the weather and a couple of likes on Facebook. Who do you really have a close relationship? Who do you let in your inner circle? So many of us are looking for true and authentic connections. See, when you were growing up, you liked everybody small like you. Then your personality started to develop, and you started weeding through those who didn't look like you, but you started developing a group or a clique. Your personality developed, and you found people that had things in common with you. You had best friends and BFFs and besties and bros, and you vowed never to be apart. But then life happened. You know, school, career, marriage, kids, and just stuff. Your relationships started to change, and your inner circles got smaller. Now that you're older, you have limited time. I mean, we're busy. What's the first thing you say to somebody? Hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Isn't everybody busy? So if you only have limited time, what do you do with that? Do you spend it with somebody that is really quality? Do you get out there and network and meet new people? You also have changing interests. You know, there's different seasons of life. Sometimes, you know, it's more about just the fun. When you were teenagers, it's just the, where are we going to hook up? Where are we going to go this weekend? When you get older and you have kids, it all revolves around kids, sports, different activities. And then when you empty nest, it even becomes a little bit harder. You don't necessarily see those friends as easy as you once did. Technology promises to make things easier, keep people more connected and informed, but instead, it creates isolation and horrible social habits. You know, instead of bonding and building deeper connections, we find ourselves creeping and prying, judging, and really ignoring. You know we're all guilty of that. A lot of times you just peruse Facebook, throw out a couple of likes, but you don't really go much further than that. You know, we've replaced a visit with a phone call. We shortened it to a text. We reduced it to a like. And now we share our emotions through emoticons and status updates. I mean, really, who are we? Are we really that busy and out of touch? You know, the average person checks their cell phone 110 times per day. Isn't that amazing? If it doesn't light up, you check it to see if it's actually on. Maybe my alerts are not happening. We just can't help ourselves. We send over 6 million text messages every day. That's the equivalent of over double the population of Los Angeles, California. I mean, that's crazy. That's 763 text messages per person per month. Just from this cell phone statistic alone, imagine all the different kinds of conversations and opportunities there are just in text messaging conversations. 99% of text messages that we send are read. We can't stand to let that unread message symbol stand on our phone, can we? The minute it goes off, you immediately want to check it. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes of receiving them. This is a significantly better statistic than unread or trashed emails in our inboxes. I've got a lot of those. We have the file 13 for all of our emails. We have to stop the madness versus accepting what's become the norm. I mean, around the world, 2 million smartphones are sold every day. I know the last time I tried to go in to get a cell phone, just a cell phone, a simple cell phone without a smart application, didn't exist. You know, we're forcing ourselves into this. Have you heard about the iPhone 10? I don't know how you missed it if you did, if you haven't heard about it. Since we're entering the holiday season, I've seen almost as many ads for it as I did for the elections. Why do we need a $1,000 phone to text our five friends and peruse Facebook's mindless sea of drama? We don't. That's the point. We've gone from a time when we lived in the moment to that in which we share in the moment. You know, everybody's a food critic. Everybody has a platform to say whatever they want to. And I know you saw this through the elections. It was pretty maddening. And I know a lot of people got blocked. Maybe they'll find their way back into your feed. But this is a time when people can sit and type anything they want, and it can go out to thousands of people. It's a big thing to actually call someone today. Don't you see that? I remember when one of my family members didn't text, they only called. And I thought, oh, I hope they get the ability to text. It would be so much easier. Why did I want something so easy? You know, we miss so much not being able to see the other person when we're talking to them. When is the last time that you actually bought stamps, another form of communication? Who goes to the post office today? We get junk mail, and that's about it. When's the last time you sent a card or a written letter, for that matter? I have a best friend that I've had since I was 5 years old. And of course, this was before technology as far as email and the phone. But we did send letters back and forth, and we lived in a small town. We could probably walk to each other's house, to be honest. But we loved getting mail. It was so much fun to open that letter and read it, just like you didn't just see that person earlier that day at school. But we would send a letter back and forth. And I really miss those days. It was a great way to communicate and stay connected. And you had something tangible that you could actually keep with you. I mean, how amazing. I was cleaning out some of my office drawers the other day, and I actually found a letter from her. It was about 20 years old, which was pretty impressive that I still had it. And it was fun reading those memories. We can't do that with text messages, not even with emails, really. It's a way to connect deeper. It's time to reconnect. What about all those friends that you once were so close with? What happened to them? You know, a lot of people say, I stay in touch on Facebook. What does that really mean? Do you send a private message, or is it just a thumbs up? I think a thumbs up is like as bad as K, just the letter K when you get a text message. Can we go a little bit further than that? You know, invite a friend to lunch to catch up. By the way, leave your phone at home, or at least in the other room. Remember, you can say, we should do lunch until you are blue in the face. But until you actually make a plan, it's never going to happen. You need to make the first move. How about a coffee catch-up or patio time? A great time to get together after work and just unwind and share your day and some of your goals and aspirations. If you do this more often, you can eventually stop catching up and start going deeper. Really sharing. Judith E. Glasser, an organizational anthropologist, says, when we actually share with others, sharing deep secrets, sharing what's on our mind, sharing our fears, our dreams, our aspirations, the brain lights up like a Christmas tree. The behavior activates a high level of oxytocin, which is the neurotransmitter that enables us to bond and connect with each other deeply. So we're going to continue talking about deeper connections. I want to talk to you a little bit more about listening, a great skill. But we're going to take a pause and we're going to listen to some music from Heidi Burson. I'm excited to introduce you to her. She is an award-winning artist and songwriter who lives in Nashville, but she's hardly home. She has two self-produced full-length albums, Every Shade of Blue and The Story, and what I'm going to be playing tonight is from The Story. Heidi is an independent artist with something relevant to say and a better understanding of how to navigate the music industry on her own terms. She just returned from a five-month tour in the UK, which she does, by the way, every year. So we're going to take a pause and we're going to listen to Whenever You're Around.
Baby, the sun, it shines just a little bit brighter. And the moon moves a little bit faster to get to where you are. And the trees sway just a little bit sweeter. Well, it just feels good whenever you're right. Well, I want to that little path today, put my hand out to where yours would be. Oh, but when the ground got a little shaky beneath my feet, I reached out, put my hands upon a tree. Oh, baby, the sun, it shines just a little bit brighter. Finding words, let alone one or two that may rhyme. But the essence of your presence is a blessing, ever guessing in the message that you breathe. Just feels good whenever you're around.
said it feels so good. You know it just feels good whenever you're around. Oh baby, it just feels good. I said it feels so good. You know it just feels good whenever.
This is Encouragementology, and I am Kendall Boyson. I'm so excited to talk to you a little bit more about deeper connections. If you're just joining me, we're just talking about how to go past just a surface level communication and relationship and really go deeper to benefit ourselves and our relationships. We talked a little bit about just making a date. Instead of texting or liking on Facebook, really schedule time to share with a person. Now, that's sharing more than just the weather, okay? This is 2018. Everybody's got a weather app on their phone, so we all know what the weather's like. We don't need to share that any longer. So why don't you talk about something a little bit different? Maybe some of your challenges and things that you would like to do. Maybe brainstorm. I have a friend, we do a coffee catch-up, and it's so much fun. We're both really super busy. We both have careers, but we schedule time at least once or twice a month to do a coffee catch-up. It's about an hour and a half. We can always use way more time than that. It goes by so fast. But we get the pleasantries out of the way because we do stay in touch on text. But we start talking about plans. We both share our ideas and our goals, and then we're both great at brainstorming. So we brainstorm. I even bring a little journal so I can write some notes because she always has a million great ideas. And the time passes so quickly, and then it's time to plan another date. And that's the important part. Put it on the books. If you don't do that, you're not going to get it done. So people who can truly listen have a unique edge in a world fragmented by distraction. Wouldn't you agree? Everybody's so used to multitasking. You know, you have your phone, you have your laptop, you have the TV, you have music going. It's very difficult just to sit there and be still and listen. To listen is to be fully present to what someone else is saying, to process their words without distraction, and to seek to understand them before trying to be understood ourselves. Boy, that's different, isn't it? That's really taking a step back. Active listening refers to a pattern of listening that keeps you engaged with your conversation partner in a positive way. It's the process of listening attentively while someone else speaks, paraphrasing and reflecting back what is said, and withholding judgment and advice. So think about when you listen. Are you the type of person that listens for a break in the conversation so you can speak again? When you do that, you're not even listening to what the other person says. How about somebody that asks you a question and you literally don't clue into what they've even said? They ask a question and you really don't even know what came out of their mouth, so you have to ask again. When you have an internal conversation with yourself while you're listening, it's bad a habit. So what that means is, let's say somebody's talking to you and you're hearing what they're saying, but automatically your mind goes to something that you can relate, a story that you have. So now you have internal dialogue of what they're saying and you're relating it to yourself. You have to try to push that out and just listen to what they say. So imagine yourself sort of categorizing the things they say, so that you can repeat them back. Now, you might not repeat them back because that would be sort of odd, but if you're listening that way in an attempt to repeat it back, you're going to be keeping up with the conversation. And by the way, having your cell phone on the table during your catch-up is the equivalent of telling whoever you are with at the time, if someone texts, emails, or calls, I'm probably going to answer it. They're more important than you are. So whether you believe that or not, having your phone out is sending that sort of idea. So think of some different things that you could do. Think of some things to talk about. Maybe some new books that you're reading, a special series. I know I always catch up with my friends and let them know a new series that I just got into that I might be binge watching and the pros and cons, and they do the same with me. So that's great to sort of add to your list. What about date night ideas? That's an awesome conversation. Or you could also talk about ways to give back, different types of outreaches that you would like to do. An article by Sherry Turkle, a professor at MIT, she said, technology has made us shy away from the face-to-face conversation. And this is extremely negative consequences because conversation is the basis of democracy and business. It supports empathy and is essential for friendship, love, learning, and productivity. Without it, claims the expert, we lose that which makes us different from all other species. We lose our humanity. Texting is not giving us that same feeling. When you text, even though we have an overuse of emoticons to try to share our emotions and give tone to the message, you still lose so much because nonverbal communication is about 55% of what you're talking about. So the belief is that 55% of communication is body language, 38% is the tone of voice, and 7% is the actual words spoken. That can't happen over a text message or an email. You have to really talk to the person. You have to just show up. I have a friend that started that. I want to do a hashtag for it, actually, and I actually have on some of my posts, but just show up. There are times that you just don't feel like it. You get home from work, you kick off your shoes, put your sweatpants on. The last thing you want to do is get out and go see someone. But when you do and you're able to connect with somebody that's glad to be with you, you get a healthy dose of oxytocin. When you're able to share and go deeper with that person, you really develop your relationship. It's so healthy to just get outside of yourself, get out of your head, and just make it happen. Hashtag that. We can start a movement. Just show up. Giving attention to another person, another human being, is so incredibly important. If you're just joining us, I like to feature independent artists at each one of my shows because it's so important to support independent artists. They are out there, they're doing their job, they're so talented, and they just do everything they can to be heard, and it's so important to support them. Heidi is an award-winning artist, singer-songwriter from Nashville, and this is from her album, The Story. It's called My New Skin. I hope you enjoy.
What it means when you tell me you love me. I feel the smile that it puts on my face. I'm not gonna run from this feeling inside me. Feel so warm and safe. All around us. Doesn't matter that you're so far. My head in the clouds has never been so clean. Oh, it feels like the right place to start. Oh, the world is so bright and the darkness is gone. I'm hearing much happier songs. A new love can begin since I found my joy within. I'm feeling good enough.
corners. Oh, unless we're in it, dancing around. Oh, the world is so bright and the darkness is gone. I'm hearing much happier.
Welcome back to Encouragementology. My name is Kendall Boyson, and we are talking about developing deeper connections. Just a way to go past the surface level, hi, how are you, like on Facebook, and really get a little bit deeper. We talked about just showing up. Just be there. Make a date and show up. Give attention. As the French philosopher Simone Weil writes, attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. Attention, taken to its highest degree, is the same thing as prayer. It presupposes faith and love. If we turn our mind toward the good, it is impossible that little by little the whole soul will not be attracted thereto in spite of itself. That's important. Attention, just giving someone else attention, your full attention. We talked about how to listen actively. Active listening is really cluing in to what someone is saying. Push out all the other thoughts, all of the distractions, meaning your cell phone or anything else. Really give that person your full attention and think about what they're saying. Develop the story so that you could actually tell that story back to them. That's important. You're connected with this friend because you share like interests. Wouldn't it be great to really widen your circle by networking with their friends? Who else could you meet? If you like them, why wouldn't you like their friends as well? There's a part of the brain that activates when we meet people. It's called the like me or not like me part of the brain. When we think people are like us, the RPC lights up and we connect easily. It's like looking in the mirror and seeing ourselves, and we immediately are comfortable. So where could you network? There's all types of places that you could go to. There's lots of different meetup groups. You could just put yourself out there. When you go to, let's say, the store or the movies, or you're at a restaurant, maybe reach out and talk to someone. You know, catch their eye and maybe say hi. Find something in common. Isn't it interesting that when you're on vacation at a resort or something like that, you can meet people so fast? It's like everybody is there. The pressure's off. They're not going to work the next day. They're a little more relaxed and you meet people. When's the last time you went on vacation and you didn't meet a couple from another place? It happens all the time. You know, how can you strike up a conversation? What do you like to do? Maybe it's sports, maybe it's literature, maybe it's music. Maybe it's children, you know, a lot of different children's groups. Maybe it's music lessons and music groups. Maybe it's art openings. That's a wonderful place to meet people, actually. You've got something in common. You're looking at a piece of art. It gives you a great time to just check it out and maybe make a comment to the person next to you. Really bring them in. It's a great time to spread your knowledge to someone else. You might have a lot in common and you just don't even know it. So the idea is, let's go a little bit deeper with our friends. And if we have a hard time meeting friends, I mean, maybe you're the person that, you know, now that you're empty nested, you really don't have that many people to call on. That's a great time to either join a group as a single, if you'd like to do that, even if you're a married couple and you want to have some different interests. Join a painting class. I actually just stopped taking my painting class because of my show, but I took a painting class. It was amazing. Even though I was really, really busy and it was tough for me to sort of set work aside for 2.5 hours, once I went, spread out my stuff, I really got into it. And it was a way to relax and connect with other people that had something in common. So we would have snacks, we would have our projects, we would turn on some great music, and then we would all tell stories and laugh. It's a wonderful way. There's plenty of opportunities to do that around the area. Maybe it's a book club. Book clubs are great places to meet people if you like to read. Now that you have Audible, which is awesome, if you don't have Audible, it's hard for me to even say I'm reading a book because actually I'm listening to it, but it's amazing. You can be driving long distance and it really keeps you engaged. So with Audible, get your book there, go to your book club, and you can share some ideas. I have a friend that's in a book club, and I know they read the book, but boy, when they get together, they have a ton of fun, and it's not necessarily all about a book. So those are pretty fun as well. So find some interests that you have, that you may want to find people that have like interests. Maybe as a couple, find a couple things that you can do. That's a wonderful way. Take some dancing lessons. I actually used to be an Arthur Murray dance instructor, and I'll tell you, most men got drug into the class the first or second lesson. After that, the guys were the ones that wanted to come the most. Well, it was probably because I was teaching them how to lead and be in control of their partner, and so, you know, what guy doesn't want to feel that? So dance lessons are amazing. I would definitely recommend that. Maybe it's a movie club, or, you know, sports can be fun too when you put a whole bunch of people together. So even if, ladies, even if you're not into sports, when you get together, it can be all about the snacks, all about the tailgating, and you guys could share some awesome stories why the guys are really rooting on their sports team. So there's a lot of ways that you can connect, and it really helps you to reconnect with each other too. You know, you can get a lot of pressures from work, kids, school. Once you get home, you know, you share maybe what happened during the day, and a lot of times it's your grievances more than anything else. And it's not the positive, it's always the negative of the day. So having an outlet like that would really help you get outside of yourself and have something else to talk about. So whether you do your activities separate and then get together and really share deeply about what you liked about it, how it helped you, what kind of skills it's giving you that you can apply in your everyday, or whether you do something together and now you have a goal that you can shoot for together and you have something else to talk about. I highly recommend that. If you think you're too busy, you're not. You can find time. Start evaluating your day. Where do you spend your time? You know, even write a list, write it out. What am I doing with my day? And find a moment in there that you could dedicate to making a deeper connection. Now we're going to listen to another song by Heidi Burson. Again, she is an independent singer-songwriter from Nashville. She's got an amazing voice. She just returned from a 5-month tour in the UK. And this is her song from the story called Clean Break. So enjoy.
I pressures of tomorrow, cause familiar turned to sorrow, and back burner dreams I followed, I couldn't swallow. I'd be catching the blame of my own mistakes if I didn't chase what I was made to do. So I'm making a clean break, a clean break. Let the past be the past, been holding me back. I said a clean break, breaking up, getting away, breaking up, getting away, breaking up, getting away, breaking up, getting away.
I cleaned out all my closets, all the drama, I forgot it, like the history of a town that never noticed me. If home is where the heart is, and my heart's across an ocean, the channel tide's pulling, whispering, I'm catching the blame of my own mistakes if I don't chase what I was made to do. I'm making a clean break. I said a clean break. Let the past be the past. Nothing holding me back. I said a clean
Welcome back, and we are talking about building deeper connections. You know, I used to think when people came in and out of my life that there must be something wrong with me. You know, I've had friends that I've had for a long time, and then all of a sudden, we're not really friends anymore. And I used to just rack my brain, like, what did I do wrong? I must have done something. I would go over it and over it again. And then it finally dawned on me, you know, we have different seasons of life. There are times where you're going to be really close and you're going to need people, and there's going to be times when you don't, and maybe your lifestyle changes. Again, you know, you could have small children and you have something in common with the person, and you meet at sporting events when they get older, or maybe at work. How many times have you had friends at work that you feel super close with? And then for whatever reason, you know, you leave or they leave, and then you always vow to stay in touch. You change email addresses, but you get your personal email address and you say, let's keep in touch. I want to know what's going on with you. And it's so difficult to do that. You know, we're used to what's happening right around us in our common space. It's difficult to sort of step outside of that and really meet people where they are. So, you know, as you grow and you evolve, your needs and your wants are going to evolve as well. You'll meet people along the way, and they'll play all types of different roles in your life. You know, some are going to lead you. Some will support you. Some will love you and laugh with you. And then in other times, it's going to be your turn. You're the person that's supposed to be doing the leading. Every connection will have a significance at some point, and it may not be clear to see right away. You know, you may have to look a little bit deeper to find out what that was all about and what role you played. You know, in some seasons of your life, you're surrounded by friends. They're everywhere. You're calling, writing, making plans. They seem to be like your whole world. You know, go back to high school. You know, that was it. On the weekends, what were we going to do? You know, even at school, you were passing notes back and forth. Well, that's what we did. I know that the kids today are probably texting, but we were passing notes in the hallway or actually in class. But then in other seasons, you may struggle to find friends. You know, friends that you trust or that you can rely on, that you can share deeply with. You know, in those times, you may have to extend yourself and do a little networking, a little marketing, you know, put yourself out there. Don't make those encrypted messages on Facebook that people have to decipher. You know, really be honest with your feelings. If you want to get to know somebody better, just ask them, hey, you want to get coffee? And again, I know I've said it before all night, make sure you make that date happen. But, you know, just ask them. They may be timid and they may be wanting to get to know you a little bit better too. Think about this. If you were interviewing potential friend candidates, what would be on your list of requirements? How about nice to haves? What qualities do you value in a friend? You know, if you really got to pick, and you know, at different seasons of your life, you really should have that opportunity to pick who you want to be close with. But think about what's important to you. What are your values? Now, what would you like to have in a friend? You know, a lot of people say honesty, of course, trust, maybe like ideas, morals. I know we just came out of the political climate, but maybe it is like political views. Maybe it's hobbies. Maybe it's music that you want to have in common. But write those things down and really search for that. You know, a lot of people feel like they can't make a close connection because they can never really just let their guard down and trust people, let people in. You know, acquaintances are free, but to develop a deeper connection and possess a valued friend, you must invest time, effort, and energy. Friendship comes at a price. Have you ever had those conversations on the phone where you're like, uh-huh, yes, oh, yeah, okay, well, all right, nice, that's marvelous, okay, bye-bye. What was that? Have you ever had a conversation like that? That's a one-way conversation. You didn't even get to say anything about yourself and what's going on in your life. How does that make you feel when you have those conversations? Do you see that phone ringing and you're like, oh, here we go. I just don't have time. Do you have those relationships where you feel like you invest so much of yourself and your energy and you just don't get anything back? One-way conversations are selfish and they should be limited to an informative text. Consider listening more than you talk. You'll learn so many more interesting details that way. You know, maybe do the volley technique. They get to say something, you get to say something. They share, you share, and you go back and forth. You're going to have to make time to be a good friend. You know, everybody's busy. I had an acquaintance. I would like her to be a friend. She doesn't live close, but I had an acquaintance tell me, you know, when people ask you how you're doing, they want to know what's on your heart. Everybody's busy. And I, for one, always say I'm busy because I normally am, but I like it that way. I'm not complaining. I usually really schedule myself pretty heavily because I like to be busy. But that's not what they're asking. Everybody's busy. If I say, oh, I'm busy, that's almost insinuating that you're not. So I want you to have some pity on me. But, you know, really talk about what's on your heart and go a little deeper with that. We all treasure that friend who is always there for us, don't we? The one that always asks us how we're doing, and they really mean it. They want to know how you're feeling and what they could do to help take the pressure off. Katie Lowenstein recently published an article in The Time where she said, humans tend to get maximum pleasure and vitality from social bonding, and the payoffs start before you even leave the house. The anticipation of an experience can be as valuable a source of happiness as the experience itself. So I think that we can all bond a little quicker and a little deeper with each other and get that healthy dose of happy chemicals from just the anticipation of getting together. So thank you so much for listening tonight. I'm excited to bring encouragement to you every week. And tonight we talked about deeper connections, just a chance to really get past the surface level communication and go a little bit deeper with your friends. You know, put the technology aside, really connect with someone visually, physically, look at them, talk to them, let them see your body language. You know, give them a hug. You're going to get such a happy chemical release from that activity. Just show up, make a date, make it happen. Remember, if you don't write it down, you don't make it on, put it on the calendar, it's not going to happen. So the next time your friend says, hey, we should get coffee, pull out your phone just for the calendar or your day planner, whatever you use, and write it down. Let's make a date right now so that you can make that happen. So I challenge you, call a friend, make a date, and share deeper. To experience more joy in your life, make an intentional effort to adopt this idea as a practice and practice it often. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you. How